Turn your Bibles tonight with me to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. And once again, we shall take notice of a portion here of this chapter that has to do with God's judgment upon Babylon. And tonight, we'll begin reading in verse number 21. And the primary subject of the verses that we'll consider tonight have to do with the notice given that this was a divine act. It was an act of the Lord bringing this judgment to pass. Verse 21, go up against the land of Marathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border, open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly, let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape, recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. And so again, we find here how that notice is given, specifically concerning this prophecy describing the judgment of Jehovah against Babylon, noting that it is an act of God. The Lord here is as if he were taking credit for it, to say this is my doing and none other's. No matter who is used as my instrument, as far as the Medes and the Persians and their vast armies might have been concerned, God said this is my act of vengeance. He was personally affronted and provoked, and he will bring this judgment to pass. Now, again, there are many parallels here with the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon and spiritual mystery Babylon, the great, and as the Lord directs, we'll take notice of some of those things. But notice verse 25, the Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. And so again, it's the Lord saying, this is my work, this is my doing, my work of judgment and vengeance. And so these things did come to pass, and there are again those things which God's word says shall yet come to pass against great mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and those that God shall use in bringing forth his judgment, and yet it shall be his divine act. Now in verse 21, he says, go up against the land of Marathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. It's as if God here is issuing and continuing his divine summons and issuing of orders and commands to the invaders and destroyers that would be coming against Babylon. Behind the scenes, as it were, in the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, it was the Lord who would bring this to pass. And so it's as if he's giving out his orders and saying, begin the attack and carry it out and completely and utterly destroy Babylon. Now, they are commanded by Jehovah, and therefore they cannot resist. Now, as I said, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 17. There's a great parallel here with the destruction of Mystery Babylon the Great, the devil's hierarchy of this world's religious system that is married to its economic system and even its military and political systems. But notice here in Revelation 17 and verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And so you see, even in this, the destruction of Mystery Babylon the Great, that this is going to still be actually the working of God to bring it to pass. They're going to be doing what they want, and yet it's God who put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And notice in verse 5 and 6 of the next chapter there, in chapter 18, it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. And so, you see, this is the method and the measure of God's judgment, that he does unto her as she had done, and he fills up the cup to her in return, even double. And we notice here in Jeremiah 50 verse 21, there were some names used. He said, go up against the land of Marathaim, even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Look in Ezekiel chapter 23. These were names that referred to Babylon and some of her cities and her confederates. Ezekiel 23, verse 22, therefore, O Ahava, you can read the first part of this chapter and find out that that was a spiritual name that God gave to Jerusalem because of her wickedness. And he said, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side, the Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, All of them desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renowned, all of them riding upon horses. They shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments. Now notice again these names that are mentioned in association with Babylon. And these names are meaningful. And even in our text, back in Jeremiah 50, the name Merathaim is said to be the double of the word Mara, which, as you remember, means bitter. It was the name given to the place where the children of Israel murmured against Moses because they had crossed the Red Sea and they went so many days into the wilderness, and they came to Marah and they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. And this name, being the double of it, is said to mean double rebellion. Well, as God said, he's going to give the double cup of wrath unto Mystery Babylon in judgment. And so you see, God's judgment is always equal and right. But notice, the name Peacock also means visitation. And he said at the end of verse 27, their day has come, the time of their visitation. It would be the visitation of judgment from the Lord. He would visit his vengeful, wrathful judgment upon them. And so we find here these things mentioned. Now in verses 22 and 23, there is statements made, or there are statements made to cause great notice to be paid, and that great notice would be paid unto what an astounding thing this was that the Lord would bring to pass. It says, a sound of battles in the land and of great destruction. And so, a great sound, a sound of war and of destruction. And he said, how is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? Now, he's referring to Babylon. He says, how has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? And so things were quite turned around, or they would be, when this would come to pass. But you see, that Babylon, who was so mighty and like as a hammer. You know, what's one of the things you can do with a hammer? Well, you can break things to pieces, can't you? Well, that's what they had been like. He said, the hammer of the whole earth. But they would now be broken and cut to pieces. And you see, what an astounding thing that it would be. And would cause all who heard of it to take notice and tremble. He said, the sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. That Babylon would be a desolation among the nations. Look at the last verse of this chapter, verse 46 of Jeremiah chapter 50. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. None would be able to avoid noticing the downfall of Babylon, and none will be able to escape noticing the downfall of spiritual mystery Babylon when she is thrown down with great violence by the Lord. And then in verse 24, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. It's as if, you know, God had set this snare or this trap for them, and they didn't even know. They didn't not only not know, they didn't suspect. Now they should have. But you see, just like all who sin against God, they're blind. They're unaware. They're unknowing. They're foolish. Even the things that should serve as warnings to them, they ignore. They misconstrue them. They dismiss them. They make light of them. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, remember how that people who beheld it and beheld all the things that happened on that day, the sun being darkened and the earthquake and all the things that took place, and it says some of them, they smote upon their breast. But then what did they do after that? They went their way. That's what people do, isn't it? They go their way instead of going God's way. But we find that he said, I've laid a snare for thee, and now art also taken. They fell into the trap. He said, thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. They were like a criminal, like a thief or someone who, tries to commit their crime, their thievery, and then escape and not be caught and found. And yet God said, you are caught, you are found. You sinned against me. You strove against the Lord. It's not possible to strive against the Lord and prevail or escape. Notice, or get away with it. He cannot be outwitted, outmaneuvered, or outmatched. And yet the wicked are taken unsuspectingly. Look, if you will, for a moment, the book of Daniel, chapter 5. You see, that's the lie of sin. That you can sin, you can strive against God, you can disobey God and somehow get by or get away with it. Well, that's why the Bible says, beware the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's a liar. God's not. But notice in Daniel 5, the last couple of verses, you remember this fifth chapter concerns Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, and he had taken the vessels from the house of God, the temple that was at Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away with him when he conquered and then destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, and they brought those vessels back to Babylon. And well, Belshazzar, he got them out and he said, I'll use these to have a party. And it would be an idol worshiping party. They would fill the vessels with wine, and they would drink and toast the and celebrate the gods that they worshipped, of wood and of stone and of metal and so forth, with the things that were dedicated to the worship of the one and only true and living God, who made all things and put the breath in man's lungs. And here they were doing this. Well, God sent him a message. You remember what it was, and we'll not go through that tonight, but notice in verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. You see it all, the night that they were having their idolatrous banqueting and feasting and blaspheming the living God. Well, it was that night in which he was slain, and Babylon fell into the hands of the Medes. The history tells us that half of the city was taken before the other half knew anything about it. And that Cyrus, the Persian, who was the commander of the invading forces, along with Darius the Mede and others that made up the Medo-Persian empire, that he turned the waters of the Euphrates, where it was defended, into a different channel, and so they were able to enter the city by the dried up channel at night. And so they got in by a way that no one would have suspected. But that's according to man's history. And here God was saying that these things were going to take place. Over 70 years before they did. But notice, if you will, look in the New Testament, Luke chapter 21. Now, the thing that I want you to take with you is, as the Lord said, thou wast not aware. Here, this would come upon them as a snare. They would be caught in it and taken. And yet God said, you were unaware, you were unknowing. You didn't, it was as if you didn't suspect it. Here they were, the night that the city's taken, what are they doing? What are their leaders doing? They're having a feast and a party. Notice Luke 21 verse 33. You know, that's essentially what this world's going to be doing when judgment comes. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, planting, building, feasting. Verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You see, beloved, he said you can be overcharged, you can be overcome, so that you're unaware. That the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Notice back in Jeremiah 50 and verse 25. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord, God of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans. Again, God here saying, this is my business. I'm the one who is pursuing it and bringing it to pass, this judgment upon Babylon. And notice he refers to the armory and the weapons of his indignation. You know, the armory of Jehovah is unlimited, inexhaustible, and undefeatable. In Revelation 18 and verse 8, when it's describing the downfall, the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and it says that the Lord who says, strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Moses said the Lord was a man of war. He has his armor. You know, people have told themselves that there's some things that God can and won't do. They need to listen to God about what God can and will do, because he has said so. God doesn't issue, he's not like a lot of parents. You know, they issue idle threats to their children. They say, if you don't do this or that, I'm going to do such and such, and your children know better. And so they don't pay any mind. But you see, God's not like that. And so here he says that he had opened his armory and his weapons of his indignation would be deployed against the Babylonians. In verses 26 and 27, come against her from the utmost border, open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly, let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day has come, the time of their visitation. Here, complete destruction and ruin is predicted and commanded. The storehouses of her treasures would become heaps of rubbish. So much accumulated wealth and fame would be gone suddenly and never recovered. In verse 28, he said, "The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple." You see, the Lord, yes, he was the one that allowed the temple to be destroyed, and yet it was still his temple, wasn't it? And you see, now the telling of God's mighty act of vengeance would be celebrated in Zion. Look in Psalm 137. Psalm 137. Now, you see, when the Babylonians, when they set fire to the temple, they didn't weep. No, they celebrated. But notice in Psalm 137 and verse 8, "O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones." And so you see, beloved, God's saying that he was going to bring to pass against them as they had done. And his judgment would be just and would be told back in Zion when his people would be escaped from Babylon. Notice in verse 29 and 30. Again, the summons is given, "Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about, let none thereof escape." So you can see, as if, you know, there's a part of the army against Babylon, and part of it being the archers who would bend the bow and shoot the arrows, and they're being given instructions to surround and not let anybody escape. And says, "Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her." We see the equality and the completeness and the righteousness, as well as the severity of God's judgment. Remember that king there in the book of Judges there, when you first start reading the book of Judges, that he was a Canaanite king, and when they captured him, they conquered his city, the children of Israel, and it says they cut off his thumbs and his great toes before he died. And he said he had so many kings that he had conquered, and he had them crawling on all fours underneath his table waiting for crumbs, because he had cut off their thumbs and their great toes. Remember, he said, "As I've done, that's what the Lord has done to me." Well, you see, that's the equality of God's judgment. And God can do it. See, people think God either can't do it, or he won't do it, and then they charge God and say, "Well, his ways aren't equal." You know what's? God's the only one who is equal in his ways. He's the only one who is. But notice, he said, "For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord." And so, there would be a complete destruction and they would be totally overcome. Now, verse 31 and 32, last verses of our lesson, said, "Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee." You know, people complain and they say, "Why doesn't God do something about this, that, or the other?" He will. You know what the real problem is? It's not that God's not going to do something. It's that people won't do what they're supposed to do. You know, when Noah and his three sons and their three wives stepped off the ark after the flood, the destruction of the wicked world that had been prior to the flood, who did God give responsibility for the things that go on this earth? He gave it to man, didn't he? For instance, he said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by him shall man's blood be shed. His blood shall be shed." He put man as being responsible for executing righteousness and judgment. And man refuses to do it. One day the Son of Man is going to come and he will do it. But you see, people say, "Oh, the Lord shouldn't allow this or that." People shouldn't allow it. They've been made responsible. They won't even do what they can. They don't want to. What are rulers and governments and leaders supposed to do? They're supposed to punish the evildoers and reward those that do good. And they do just the opposite. But God's not that way. He said, "Behold, I'm against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him." And so God's judgment would be complete. But I want you to notice, he continues to call them proud. And he said, "I'm against thee." Remember how the Bible says God resisteth the proud. He ranges himself against them. This is the declaration of the Lord's opposition. He's against the proud. He arrays himself against them. Now, nothing worse could happen to the enemies of the Lord than that they should persist in their enmity against him and not repent. That's the worst possible thing. The command of God to all men everywhere right now is to repent, to forsake sin and the way of their own wisdom, which is no wisdom, and turn to him by faith in his Son Jesus Christ and be made righteous in him and by him. You know what the proud say? They say, "My way is right, and I'm going to follow my own way." You know what, Dad? You know what we all ought to say? I'll say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and show me thy way." Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." O thou most proud. You know, he's putting them on par with the devil here. Pride's the condemnation of the devil, the Bible says. And so he said, they're going to stumble and fall and won't be anybody able to pick them and raise them back up. And so we see here the judgment of the Lord. It's his judgment. And it's right. And as this came to pass, so shall all the other judgments of God that the Bible talks about come to pass. Those which are spoken of as yet future, they'll come to pass. And just as this was mentioned in the Word of God, prophesied and warned of beforehand, well, so are those others that have been mentioned. Look at the end of the next chapter, chapter 51. Verse 59. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Sariah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see, and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Not something. Well, there's a lot of things God's word has spoken of. You know, and when it falls on the ears of people, you know what their reaction oftentimes is? They're very dismissive. They think they know more than God. They think it's just man's words. Well, be careful that you don't fall under that same category. Thou most proud. It takes a lot of pride to tell God he's wrong. It takes a lot of pride to tell yourself you know more than the Lord. It takes a lot of pride to stick your fingers in your ears and say, I'm not going to listen to God. And if you're saved, aren't you glad the Lord, by his grace, he humbled you? Well, we need to be humble still. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Gives grace unto the humble. May the Lord bless you.